Awesome. Thanks, guys. I'm Harry, if I haven't met you before, and I've got the privilege of reading the Bible with you tonight. I'm going to be reading from Acts chapter 4, verses 23 through to 31, if you'd like to follow along. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. "Sovereign Lord," they said, "you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. And just as Amanda comes up to share with us tonight, I'll just pray for her. God, thank you for your servant Amanda. Thank you for all the time that she's poured into preparing what she's going to say tonight. I pray that you would fill her with your Spirit and help her to proclaim that word boldly here. And I pray that you would be working in our hearts as you already have been to prepare us for what you'd have us hear from you tonight. Amen.
Hello, everybody. I'm Amanda, and I'm sure there's many of you I haven't met yet and hope to very soon. But I'm really loving this series on prayer. And I love the way in the first week Nick reminded us of how Jesus prayed. And that it was often with, that really big Greek word that was used. And it meant that Jesus prayed with a very loud, raspy, loud and more loud voice to his Father. And during the week, I tried to imagine that. And I've been inspired by the way Jesus prayed. I appreciated Lauren speaking the next week about adoring God, praising and thanking him for who he is and all he has done, that we are to be in awe of the wonder and beauty of our God. And I loved also last week when Amy was speaking about petition, that we can be anywhere and anytime and we can ask God for what we need, knowing that we don't have to stand in line to get our Father's attention, that we can pray anything and we have direct access to him because of Jesus. And here tonight, we come to intercession, standing in the gap, bearing one another's burdens, taking part in God's work in the world and in the lives of his precious children, praying with heart for others out of our love for Jesus. And Jesus taught us to pray the Lord's Prayer. And he said, pray like this: "Our Father in heaven, hallowed or holy be your name. Your kingdom come." In Luke 17, Jesus tells us that the kingdom of God is within us. What on earth does this mean? And what is his kingdom? It is the whole cosmos. It has always been. And it has come alive through Jesus. For in Jesus, our King has come. Now, this is profound if you really allow yourself to think about it. The kingdom Jesus is talking about is not about land. It's not about money. It's not about earthly power. It actually begins in you and it begins in me. And it grows out from us from there as we partner with Christ in the world. And listen to this amazing quote from the Apostle Paul. In Romans 8:11, he says this: "The Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in us now." Let me read that again. The Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead, you imagine the power in that, is living in you and is living in me now. But I have to be honest here. Do we really know what this means? And I have to be perfectly honest to say, I wondered why, as I was preparing this message during the week, why nearly every day I had the most shocking headache. And I thought, what is going on? This is a beautiful subject of interceding. And then I suddenly thought, I can exegete this passage tonight and tell you every little intricate detail. I can quote scripture till I'm blue in the face. But what does it all mean? And where are we all at? Only for us tonight to walk out that door and just forget everything? I'd be heartbroken if we did. Do your prayers feel like mine sometimes? Do your prayers seem powerless and lame? And while I'm on that subject, why aren't we moved anymore? Like I said to the congregation this morning as everyone just sat, and I mean I sit too, I'm not blaming everyone, as I read that, the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in us now. Oh my gosh, I see more passion at a football field. It's disgusting. No, I'm sorry. But we're living in this entertainment world where I seriously think our brains have gone numb. Theologian D.A. Carson writes this: "One of the foundational steps in knowing God and one of the basic demonstrations that we do know God is prayer. Spiritual, persistent, biblically minded prayer. We've learned to organize, to build institutions, publish books, insert ourselves into the media, develop evangelistic strategies and administer discipleship programs, but we've forgotten how to pray." Oh, whoops. Maybe we've forgotten or we don't understand that, yes, as a follower of Jesus, we have within us, when we pray, the authority and all that is required to work with God in changing the world. In Genesis, we read about the great patriarch Abraham. Do you remember Abraham? He was considered God's friend. He pleaded with God to spare the city Sodom that had so much wickedness going on in there, and God had enough, and he said, "I'm destroying it." And Abraham was pleading with God, saying, "Lord, even if there are 10 righteous people in Sodom, will you spare that city?" And God said yes. And even though God did end up destroying that city, he allowed Lot's, remember Lot and his wife and his family, to escape before that place was destroyed. Now we look at this and we think, oh yeah, but Abraham and God were like this. Whoa, and Moses and these big people. But let me say, this kind of relationship is available to all of us because of Jesus. It is no longer just certain anointed people who can intercede and move God's heart. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. There is a great scene in C.S. Lewis's The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. Who loves C.S. Lewis? Yeah, he's great. And It is this scene where the witch casts an evil spell on all the inhabitants of Narnia and they become frozen in time. I remember the movie. It was so good. And at his resurrection, Aslan the lion, who is a symbol of Christ, he goes around and he breathes on every creature in Narnia and the ice begins to melt. And at last they are free from the witch's wicked spell. Then Aslan gives young Lucy, who is just a girl, the power to do the same. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was breathed on all believers. So whether we are on a tram each day, whether we are in a park, we are empowered by Jesus to be his mouthpiece and his light. And for example, I hear Donald Trump being run down all the time. Can I challenge us all out here that instead of running down Donald Trump, why don't we stand in the gap and pray for him? He has a massive responsibility. Why don't we pray for our Prime Minister, Scott Morrison? These people can never do enough. Oh, they should be doing this. Oh, they're not doing this. Blah, blah, blah. Whether you vote Greens or Labor or Liberal, please pray for the leaders of our country and the leaders of our world. Let's stand in the gap. They have a massive task. There is a beautiful example of prayer in our passage tonight. The apostles Peter and John have just been freed from jail, and it would have been a horrible, putrid jail. They were freed by the authorities who were freaking out because people were being healed and thousands were giving their lives to Jesus. Peter and John were told not to speak Jesus' name publicly or there would be consequences. They were threatened. So in verse 23 in our passage tonight, it says that straight after they were released from jail, the apostles Peter and John didn't lick their wounds. They weren't all feeling sorry for themselves or feeling outraged at the authorities. What did they do? The Bible says they went back to their own people and were united in prayer. These were Peter and John's friends, no higher authority, but people praying in confidence by the power of the Holy Spirit. You may have read, and if not, please do, there's a magnificent passage in the book of Exodus, chapter 17, where Moses is exhausted. He's been holding his arms up during a battle against the Israelites. The Amalekites are battling against them in Rephidim. And Moses' brother Aaron and Hur go up a hill with Moses. And when they see that Moses is getting tired, they give him a rock to sit on. And then they hold his arms up, one on one side and one on the other. And I remember seeing a painting of this from behind, and it was absolutely beautiful, seeing Aaron and Hur on either side of weary Moses holding up his arms. And the battle was won that day because he had praying friends by his side, bearing the burden, bearing the load. Isn't that a beautiful, beautiful story? Sometimes I've felt a heaviness in my heart when I've prayed for a person. Have you ever felt that? Maybe you haven't understood what it's been like. I really want to encourage you, go with that. If you really sense God putting a person on your heart, even if you don't know what to pray, pray for them. Just begin to pray. Ask God to bless them. Ask God to give them strength. And if there's any healing required in their life, pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that the Lord would heal them, would make them strong, would make them bold in Jesus' name. There's something I love to do. In a few years, I might have mentioned this in a message. And there's a lot of Trinity and Xavier boys around here walking in the morning. And I walk our little dog every day. He's getting a bit old now, but we still go. And there's these masses, groups of boys going down this path. And a few years ago, the Lord really laid it on my heart, I want you to pray for these boys. And I went, oh, there's tons of them. Pray for them. And so what I would do, as they'd walk past, I'd just be praying, oh, in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, would you grip the hearts of these boys that they would become men after your own heart? I pray that they would learn to respect women, to respect themselves, to respect one another, that they would find out the gifts that you have put in them, that they would grow and give you glory through the work they do, and that they would serve you in this world, God, and that those that there are putrid things in the world available to them, like pornography and all sorts of horrible stuff, that their eyes and their hearts will become fixed on you, Jesus. And sometimes, you know, we're talking about Nick with it, talking on the phone and praying for someone. I think I should do that because often I'm like this, and I think it's early in the morning, 7:30, I'm going, and in the name of Jesus, and someone's going at the traffic lights, and I go, morning. It's really funny. But then I found over the years that some of the boys will walk along and, you know, young people don't often take notice of you if you're 50 or 40 and over these days. But it's really lovely that they look and they'll smile. And sometimes I go, oh, good morning. I feel as though their spirits are looking through their eyes. And I feel a connection. And I feel like they're my spiritual sons. And it's so special because I feel like I'm part of something. And I may never know what may become of these boys. But God does. And I'm excited. And to be honest, I felt it when you boys came in before and you were sitting on this side because no one was there. My heart really suddenly felt this burning in me for the Lord that I wanted to pray for you. And so the Lord does this. And actually there was this, I don't know whether you know Howard Barclay. Is Nicholas, he's not here tonight, I don't think. Nicholas Barclay is Howard's grandson. And Howard was a missionary. And it's an amazing story of intercessory prayer. His mum, like he was born 1926. His mum would have been born around 1900 or something. She, at the age of 16, felt the urge to pray. It was a burden to pray for Nepal, and she knew nothing about Nepal. Every day she began to pray for Nepal, where the doors were closed to any missionaries. And she was praying that the light of the gospel would be allowed to come into that nation. Every day she prayed. Not only did it come into that nation, but guess what? At 16, how was she to know that a little boy she was going to give birth to, Howard, would be one of the first, oh, get shivers, one of the first missionaries allowed into Nepal. And he just was this beautiful man, he and his wife, and he taught and he spread the gospel of Christ and he loved Jesus and loved on people. And now there's about 1 million people who've given their lives to Christ. 16-year-old girl. Don't ever think that whatever lays on your heart is nothing. One day when you get to heaven, you'll meet the people that you prayed for. It's so exciting to be part of this. You feel as though you're part of something so precious, working with God in the world. In our passage today, the early Christians really teach us how to pray. Before they ask God anything, the community recalls God's promises and they recite Psalm 2. They're reminded that although Jesus died a brutal death, he rose again. So although persecution was on the rise and many of them would have died for their faith, they knew that these persecutors, they were God's children as well. And although God did not shield them, and some of us, you know, we do suffer in this life. It can be difficult at times and we don't understand how that works, but it happens. But remember, as these early Christians said, they knew that God wrote the end of the story. He was overarching it all. And so I think it is important that, like these early Christians, they knew the Psalms. They memorized a lot of them. They also knew the prophecies. And also, these were early days, so the Gospels were not written down quite yet. But I want to encourage all of us to drink in the Bible, to read it for ourselves, and to maybe learn, say, Psalm 23. Maybe learn the first 5 verses of Psalm 103. For example, praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. You know, there's something about speaking God's word back to him that strengthens our faith and encourages our heart. And I think it also shows great respect to our God. I also love in this passage how Peter and John's community, did you notice that they don't pray for protection or deliverance from the threat of the authorities? What do they pray for? They pray for boldness. Well, I don't feel very bold a lot of the time, do you? I mean, look at our culture. Most of us have had a comfortable bed to sleep in, food, clothing, ease, comfort. Maybe many of you have had godly parents who've prayed for you from the time you were conceived. Beautiful homes that you've been brought up in. We're busy, busy, busy. Our lives are full. Jesus can be an add-on and we don't even realize. We're not desperate for him. We're not living on the edge. We can say, I believe. Yeah, he's pretty cool. And then we'll go on with our lives. But there's nothing like a bit of suffering to awaken us from inertia. And maybe the way our culture's going, we thank God that we don't have persecution. But who knows down the track? We need to be ready. We need to be brave. We need to be strong. Know the word of God. Make the decision. You either know him or you don't. We're learning in our culture that we need to toe the line. And I'm going to mention this. Unless our comments pass the scrutiny test of the politically correct brigade, some of us may be called hateful, and some people have even been given death threats for saying quite minor things that do not follow the standard. Meanwhile, religious education has been stopped in schools. Some think that Jesus is so loving that he accepts everything that everybody does. But do you know what? Jesus got angry too. And maybe he'd like it if we were to cry out in a loud voice like he did. And if we were to intercede on behalf of a society that has turned its back on God. Do you know, I want boldness when I pray. I want to know God's word. I want to love and know him as much as I can this side of heaven. I don't want to muck around and be funny, flowery, and in one minute and out the next. Do you know what will happen if I don't follow God and pray boldly? I believe a few months down the track, my heart will start to grow cold. I'll start to not care. I'll start to not come to church anymore. I'll start to say, I don't really believe anymore. I'll start to water down the gospel message and become an amoeba or like some blob figure that goes from one group to the other and just agrees what everyone says, no matter what group I may be in. Do you remember that beautiful story in the Gospel of Luke after Jesus had risen from the dead and he's walking along the road with these two men and they're so distraught because of what happened to Jesus and they don't recognize him. And afterwards when they do, they said these words, "Did not our hearts burn within us when we saw him on the road and we heard his words?" Well, how on earth can we even begin to intercede if we don't even know who he is? And if we don't spend time with him? And if we don't read his word? Do you know, I don't like to say this, but Nick and I have been part of churches for well over 20 years now. And there's been people who've come up and said to us, one old lady, that she's been part of a church all her life and she doesn't know how to pray. There have been people who've come into church and they know when to stand, when to sit down, when to sing, when not to sing. They know all the different hymns and what's written in the Bible. But they don't know Jesus. And I find that one of the saddest things. And my heart breaks. This life is so short. Oh, come to know him. We have so much treasure. You have so much treasure inside of you. Maybe you don't even know it's there. I'm looking out here and I'm seeing these beautiful, beautiful people. Every one of you is unique. If you were to see what the person next to you, what their spirit looked like, you'd be going, "You're a son, a daughter of the living God. This world gives you entertainment and things that won't last, but God is a forever God." There are a few verses before our passage today, in verse 13, which I find so encouraging. It says, "When the authorities saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus." Wow. I've got to the point in my life where the only thing that matters to me when I die is not my successes or my failures or what people thought of me. But you know what I'd love people to say at my funeral? "She exuded a fragrance in her life that made me think she's been with Jesus." This morning I shared about my papa, my grandpa. He was born 1895 and he fought in Gallipoli. And I remember this old man with scars all over his head where a bomb went off right next to him. He survived and all his friends were killed. This man who went through the entire from 1914 to 1918 and somehow survived, came out of the war and had to try and live his life again, and bring up a family. He never talked a lot about his faith. But when I was in a church when I was growing up, there was another lovely old man and he commissioned me to do a painting of Jesus, no pressure. But it was Good Friday when I decided to paint this painting. And it was Jesus kneeling and his hands were really tightly clenched. And he was praying that prayer, "Oh God," you know, in the Garden of Gethsemane, "if this cup could pass from me. But not my will, but yours be done." And I had a little tear here that was glistening like a diamond. Now, it was no Michelangelo or Rubens, but I did it with all my heart. To my embarrassment, this old man asked the minister if he could pass the painting around to everyone during the service time of announcements, because I kind of knew what was going to happen. And he's like this, passing it around. It was about... And as I was going around, I was watching people's faces and I just began to squirm. Oh, people were like this. Their faces went, "Oh my gosh." And then the painting was put behind this seat somewhere and I went, "Oh." And I grabbed it, and where do you go when you want encouragement? I took it over to my grandparents' house. And then I was standing in this back room and showing my grandmother, and suddenly my dear grandpa, who had a limp and who bore the wounds of the war, he walks in, and I'll never forget this, and the light was just shining on my painting, and my grandmother's name was Lorna, and he went, looked at the painting, and he stepped back, and he went, "That's Jesus. Lorna, look, look. That's Jesus. That's my Jesus." And I thought to myself, my grandfather knew Jesus and he'd been with Jesus, and it touched my heart so much. A man who had seen the war, who'd seen people die around him, who lived a hard life in his heart of hearts. He'd been with Jesus. Well, I've been through enough in my life. I'm over wearing masks. I don't want to be mediocre, insipid in my faith. If God moves me to cry out, speak up, stand up, call upon him, refuse to back down, then by his strength, oh dear God, I want to do what he asks of me. Will you too? I don't want to be bland, boring, and predictable. And as Easter begins to unfold before us and we're in the period of Lent, I want to be moved again. And I want to join with the kingdom of believers and pray and intercede on behalf of a hurting world. When this belief of ours goes beyond mere knowledge and it burns within your heart, you feel as though you will die 1,000 deaths unless you come to really know him, unless you come every day and pray to him and love him and let him love you. Do you know, last year my mum and my dad both died. It was a horrendous year. And now our little dog is dying. It's like, oh, so much death. And that's why I feel like I can't be bothered wearing masks anymore. Jesus is amazing. I have felt the comfort of him. Even though we all have to go through grief in our lives at some point, but that quiet comfort that he gives, I can't begin to tell you. When you feel buoyed, it's like he holds you. And sometimes I've felt when I've sat and I've just cried, I've literally almost sensed a, don't know whether it's angels or Jesus, whether you've sensed it, a hand on my shoulder. He's so beautiful. He's the most powerful being, more than any of the dictators who's ever lived. And yet he's so gentle and kind and true. And he longs for your heart. And Nick and I were talking today. You know, we feel tired over the years trying to get people to pray. You know, you stand up and you try and encourage people to pray and no one prays. And I think, God, I want to so encourage you. You've all been given that special gift. Don't be afraid. Even if the first thing you say is, God, oh God, teach me to pray. God, let me love you and your people. Let it begin there. But don't stop. Don't stop. He's a beautiful Savior. Beautiful. This passage in Acts, it's a triumphant prayer meeting. Not because there are educated, famous, powerful and anointed people praying, but because there were normal, everyday people gripped by the love and the message of Jesus. I want to finish today by doing what this early Christian community actually did in this passage. Beautifully, before they pray, they appeal to God as the creator of all things. And do you realize they take 5 verses doing this and only 2 verses asking what they actually want him to do for them? So let me now, before we pray, remind us who God is. And I smile because he's beautiful. Let's take a deep breath. Oh God, beautiful God. Beautiful, beautiful Father. Have you ever stood in silence and watched the colours of the sunset or the sunrise? Have you ever heard a magpie or a blackbird singing at dawn? Have you watched the sun on a chilly morning illuminate thousands of raindrops nestled on leaves and they begin to sparkle like diamonds and you go, wow? Have you stood at the top of a mountain drinking in the view of the ocean, speechless by the beauty you see, and you stand there in all your fragility feeling like you're part of something incredible? You can't even put it into words, that you're part of a story written and not yet finished by our amazing God, our Father. Oh God, the Apostle John says of you in the book of Revelation that your voice sounds like rushing waters. Your eyes are like a blazing fire. Your face is like the sun, shining in all its brilliance. Father, John saw you in this vision. He saw your throne room and he saw four living creatures covered with eyes. Wow. Front and behind. And day and night, they never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Then John saw 24 elders fall down around the throne and worship you, God. And they said, "You are worthy. You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. And yet, Father, your tenderness." Oh, in the book of Job, verse 39, or chapter 39, it speaks of you, our powerful God, knowing when the mountain goat gives birth, or when the doe bears her fawn in the depths of the forest. It says you gave the horse its strength and its flowing mane. And you say in Psalm 50, "The cattle on a thousand hills are mine, and the fish of the sea and the birds of the air." Oh God, you created every living thing. Oh, we worship you, God. And then the piece de resistance. Psalm 139 tells us that you knit us together in our mother's womb, and that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, that you know everything, every fear in every person's heart tonight. You know every joy. You know every anxiety. You love and you cherish everyone here. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. When I consider the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, who are we that you are mindful of us? Human beings, that you care for us. And then you sent your only Son into the world, our Jesus, who is kind, powerful, merciful, humble, and true. Jesus, you heal people. Jesus, you cast out demons. Jesus, every word you spoke penetrated, blessed, and transformed the hearts of those around you. Every dark street became lit with your presence, eyes filled with tears at the mention of your name, our Savior and our King. Let us not forget you. Let us come to Easter this year and be renewed. You died the most brutal death for us, and you rose again. And the Bible says that you now are at the right hand of God, interceding for us. Wow. The Bible also says that we don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Oh, Father, Lord, you are in this place tonight. God, give us boldness. God, fill us afresh with your kindness and with your love, with your beauty. I just want to ask right now if there's anybody who wants to speak out during our service tonight in front of anyone with boldness, with a loud voice, a prayer to God, or to pray for boldness. Please do that now with all your heart, in Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. Amen. Yes. Yes, amen. Amen. Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes. Yes, God. Amen. Yes, Lord. Amen. Lord, I just want to pray now for these young men who came in tonight, who I saw. And I just thought, oh, Lord, I wanted to cry because I felt you loved them so much. And you have such a beautiful purpose for their lives. Lord God, thank you for who they are. Thank you that the sweetness of your spirit is growing within them. Thank you, Lord God, that you are speaking to their hearts. And that even though, Lord, as all of us are, there's a brokenness in them, but God, you are healing them and making them whole. You know the secrets of their heart. You know the desires of their heart. Oh, in the name of Jesus, would you bless them and keep them and make your face to shine upon them. Oh, Lord God, thank you, Father, that they're your sons, sons of our King, our Jesus. Let's just praise him, and even if it's one word, Jesus, you are so beautiful. You are real. You're not just in the pages of this Bible. You are amongst us now, oh, God. Oh, speak to our hearts, dear Jesus. Lord, let us sense your presence. Work in our lives by the power of your Holy Spirit. We love you, Lord. You are beauty. I want to invite us all to stand together, and I want us to say a prayer together in boldness, because as it says, Yes, it says up the top there in this passage tonight, it says they raised their voices together in prayer to God. So let's all say this together. Sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. God, give us boldness, move us, draw us to yourself. By the power of your Holy Spirit, free us from apathy. Set us on fire to proclaim you and your word wherever we go. Heal the brokenhearted. Set us free from fear. Teach us, Lord, to love your word. Remind us who we are in you. Let our hearts burn within us. Make our greatest desire be to love you and to love your people. Lord, enable us, your servants, to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Fill us with the Holy Spirit and enable us to speak your word boldly. Tim, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And at the very last verse of this passage, it says, after they pray,